chipper mood. I'm wondering if the Chicago Bears players are in a similarly chipper mood, since they will have a different offensive play caller than they have had. The news out of Chicago, as expected. I don't know Matt Eberflus. All these Matts that have coached in the NFC North give me great memories of Matt LaFleur's first appearance on our show. I don't know him. I feel like this was kind of a no-brainer decision that they were going to make, but he was incapable of making the announcement yesterday. Today, the news comes. Shane Waldron has been fired. Thomas Brown, former Badgers running backs coach, if I recall correctly.
Oh, okay.
Who was the offensive play caller for the Carolina Panthers last year, who did not have a great year offensively with their young quarterback, takes over. He had been the passing game coordinator. Tausch, the Packers have gotten other head coaches fired after they beat them, Chili being one of them. I'm always leery of when a team makes a coaching change, head coaching change, shakeup of the coaching staff. It doesn't always work, right? I mean, the New York Jets would be happy to tell you that it doesn't always work. But I'm always leery that this will give them, you mentioned the juice you've got, that this will give a little bit of juice. Do you think this brings some juice to the Bears?
It does. And I think when you start looking for anything at this point, the Bears stink. And they know they stink, and that's why you make these moves. You don't make moves when things are humming to get rid of coordinators or people. That's just not how the business works. You're looking to spark something, and you're looking to try and salvage what's left of your season. The fact that you had so many veteran players go up and say, we need to make a change. The fact that there's guys going up and saying, bring in Bajent or Badgent. That ain't good. This thing is a hot mess. But I wanted to caution, because the Packers are going to beat the Bears this weekend. I feel very
You have said that.
I feel very confident about it. But for anyone that thinks this is Cakewalk City, you always are nervous. I always would rather play a team coming off of a victory than off of a defeat, because your margin of error. And I think the Bears, their emotional fortitude will be tested in a big way. They are going to empty the bucket. And I think it was Mike Sherman, but I know Mike McCarthy as well, would always talk about that caged animal or the backs against the wall mentality. That's a dangerous place. You don't want to be in a cage with a lion. You don't want to be in a cage with a bear. They're going to attack you. And you have to be ready for that onslaught. The problem they have is they just stink on offense. Their defense is still very solid, but you wonder, if you're a Bears fan, do they got enough left? Or are they going to, Jordan Love leads the Packers down for a tutter early. Is it going to be the air is out the balloon and this thing is just going to go? Because that's what happens. And that's why I said, with the New York Jets and some of these other franchises that aren't stable, you ride the wave too much.
Mm-hmm.
When you ride the wave, you crash. If you're out on a nice canoe, okay, waves hit up. Oh, yep, okay, we have to kind of go through it. And then we rebalance and we do it. When you have teams that are desperate and don't have a foundation to stand on, this is what you see. You see firing coaches mid-season. You do this, you do that. And it is not a sustainable method in this league, because consistency is everything. Teams can get hot. Teams can play caged mentality and come out. The Bears are going to empty the bucket. I just don't know if they got enough in that bucket to compete at a high level. But the idea that, I think it was it Benny Brust or Strophy that put up that 0% I saw on some of our social media platforms. 0% chance, homered it. They're taking after a young homer, which I don't know if that's what their goal is, but that's what they're doing. When you say 0%, you a lot of times look idiotic. Now, if you say 1%, okay, leave a little bit. I think I'm in that low percentage point, but I have too much respect for the NFL players and their teams, even though they stink. anything can happen on Sundays, and we know that. We've seen it way too many times.
So, again, we've seen instances where the Packers have gotten a coach fired, right? And
a gloomy, dark day and snowy and windy. And right?
The Arizona Cardinals got Mike McCarthy fired.
No, the Green Bay Packers got Mike McCarthy fired.
And the Cardinals
have
been
lost
hot
since.
That was a year they actually did stink, by the way.
They've got a 49% chance of winning the division from what I saw on Monday Night Football yesterday.
Take the under.
Which, by the way, doesn't that just say it's a 50-50 chance? Like, I don't know. Does that
no,
really tell me anything?
It's a little bit less than 50-50.
Yeah.
What part of 49 don't you understand? It's less
I think
than
you know
50.
What I mean. Yeah. Okay. I don't remember there being, and this is the only experience I have with an in-season firing. You know, look, everyone loved Joe Philbin, including me. Like, one of my favorite coaches that I've ever gotten to deal with.
Which coach did you dislike the most?
There's a few on the list that I don't know if it's productive to delve into that now.
You always say who you love the most, and I'm always curious on the flip side. That's all.
Yeah, there's some offensive linemen I didn't like either. Not you, though. Loved you.
We always hear about the favorite humans who are the least
never
favorite
humans. Billy Schrader, who he said many times he didn't like. But that's the only guy that I know.
Michelle Tafoya.
Definitely doesn't like Michelle. Doesn't like Elon Musk. Doesn't like a lot of people that he doesn't like.
List is getting longer as we speak. But I don't, they wanted to play well for Joe Philbin, right? Because he's a...
And they did. They did until they didn't.
Right. They went 2-2. I don't think even if they'd have gone 4-0, it would have gotten Joe
Jets
the
game,
job.
That Jets game when he went up there, A-Rod, and dominated, won me a fantasy football championship.
And lost them a higher draft pick. I remember fans being very, very, very irritated that they won that game. My point is that just because you make a change doesn't mean it's going to give the bump that you would like to see. That said, given how dissatisfied the Bears apparently were on offense with the direct... I mean, you brought it up yesterday. The fact that DJ Moore gets bumped out of bounds on a route and decides to just continue his way onto the bench and go get a Gatorade, that's not a good look
for
your organization.
Honest to God, if I'm Caleb there, I throw him the ball over getting a Gatorade. And you have to explain yourself, like, what the hell you're doing? Like, legit.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. And he's supposed to be your leader.
Right.
By the way.
And you paid him $27.5 million a year.
That tells you how dysfunctional that whole operation is. And you brought up an interesting point, and I know that's not where we're even headed, but the finish of the seasons and the Packers winning that game that cost them draft picks, you're starting to see why that's important, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep falling into, let's just get a good draft pick, let's do this. And I always said when the Packers, in the rare cases that they've been in this spot, when Aaron busted his collarbone up and they had to finish that season and the Joe Philbin season, It's really important in your locker room to not accept that. I mistook the Detroit Lions when they could not make the playoffs. I said they shouldn't have played it at night. They should have played it at the same time. I think it was Seattle that needed to win.
Right.
When they did, Detroit not being in it, Detroit's not where they're at right now if they didn't have that mentality.
Right?
That changed. Because in the old days, Detroit might have been like, we should probably just throw in the towel here so then we can get a higher pick. The higher pick is not as important as the culture of what it is. And that's a stark reminder when the Bears are talking, and they're not at that point yet, but it's just a good reminder when we have inevitably these conversations in January. Take a look at the teams that never do that. And you'll take a look at teams that win a lot.
So the Bears are not one of those teams, though, right? Like, they have not won a lot. They have won occasionally over the last 30 years, but not consistently by any means. And what I'd like to ask, because, look, you had the one season in 2005 where your team wasn't very good, right?
Yeah, no, best 4-12 team in the history of the league.
I heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What that means, but it means something to us.
So you had that. You had, your rookie season, you were just swimming, right? You're just trying to keep your head above water. But that team won its last four to finish 8-8, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But that was a tough year. But more often than not, you were on really good teams, or at least playoff teams, maybe not Super Bowl caliber teams. But there's a generation or multiple generations of Packers fans. They're much older now, myself included, that remember the 70s. For me, it was more the 80s that I was a kid. And it took a transformative group of people, right? Bob Harlan, Ron Wolf, Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre, Reggie White, to turn around an organization that had been so bad for so long.
Yes.
How on earth do you make that happen? How do you make sure you find... Because, look, let's be honest. The Bears, the offensive coordinator change is just the first one, right? Like, I don't see
them bringing
back... It's going
to be a total reset. I'm guessing the GM will get booted, too. Even though I know they like him, it ain't working. And had they had the courage of their convictions and not played Caleb Williams right away, which is what they should have done, they should have played Bagent, and then all of a sudden, now it gets to round that turkey day, and all of a sudden now, but they didn't have the security of their jobs and the organizational backing to do it. And when you don't have that, you push, and you are holding on. Well, maybe we'll show signs that we're improving. And if they do that, then they keep them another year. And then it flips, and then they reset. Now you're 2 years into a rookie quarterback contract, and you got to start making fifth-year option decisions in a bit, and you don't have the core around it, and it's a nasty cycle. And I asked Cap this yesterday. Cap was awesome. For anybody that didn't listen,
he was
go
amazing.
Back. He's great. Mm-hmm. He is blunt. He is very upfront about where the Bears are at. And when you constantly are resetting, you have no chance. That's what the Bears do. And I'm not telling them they shouldn't. Keep doing it because it doesn't work, and it's great for us. And your dream, Jason, of having that rivalry stoked again, you'll get 1 year out of six as it's going. That's what you get. Their defense will get on fire, and they'll create turnovers. They do it on a 5 to 6 year basis. But I've always said, you don't have the guy, you don't have that quarterback, and then you build around it. Maybe Caleb is the guy, but you're
if they don't ruin him first.
Exactly, and that's why the Thanksgiving Day plan should have been instituted.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and now hopefully this kid has enough fortitude to weather this storm, and next season when there is a new coach and a new deal, they'll be able to reset, and he isn't ruined because you're in the process of getting him super skittish in the pocket and not going through. He had a few moments, but this is what it's been like. You know this is what it was going to be, and you didn't have the organizational structure to say, take a beat. Go out to a steakhouse. Go out to Cut down
There's
in Chicago.
No lowest
which, by
way,
still
this,
doing
though.
This.
Which, by the way, Cut is phenomenal. Great partner of ESPN Chicago. That's why I'm saying it, but they are phenomenal. And grab a meal and just sit back and learn and see and understand, and then you roll. But that's not what they did, and now they're sitting in the same position, and they're going to clean house again, and if they don't get it right, they're going to end up in the same position, and it's just going to be a constant hamster wheel, and the Packers will just keep...
You don't have a hamster, clearly, because that's not the sound that... Okay,
that's what you think a hamster sounds like?
The wheel spinning?
That sounds a lot like the leaky, creaky, squeaky windows, though, that you might have if you haven't made the switch and brought in Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Okay, are you ready? Don't spend another winter shivering at home with the wind howling through your windows. No wind from you? We said yesterday you were going to bring the wind.
I'm too busy laughing.
Take advantage of this deal. Even though that wind isn't howling as much, it is. It's shivering and windy and blowing everywhere. Take advantage of this deal at Pella. No interest, no payments for 12 months. Keep your home comfortable. Save on them energy bills. And thanks to customizable windows and doors from Pella, you'll keep that wind outside, blowing those big old... What are those things called that blow across like... mountain ranges, and you see them, they're like
Tumbleweeds?
Tumbleweeds. Just picture that. Don't have it out there. Don't bring it into your house. Pelican designed them to look like they've been a part of your home throughout its long history. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of November.
I have a question that will not be popular in the YouTube comments. I will ask it anyway. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
That not being a fan is a disadvantage at times. I mean, I still can't change who I am, but be that as it may, what's that face for? This would be an instance where this will not make sense. I understand that. But I was thinking about this on the drive down. I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and they were discussing the Bears' dysfunction. Then we obviously discussed some of it to start the show here. Tausch, do you feel bad for Sylvie, for
no.
The Catman?
No, why would I feel bad for those guys?
Because it's got to suck to care about the Bears.
No, that's part of the deal. Like, do we, from a Brewers fan standpoint, the fact we've never won a World Series, do you think Cubs fans feel bad for us?
Well,
they don't.
I don't. I'm not saying the Cubs fans should feel bad for Brewers fans, because at least the Brewers win. I'm talking about just years and years of disappointment and failure that I can't, I mean, I guess I can't imagine it from my childhood, but like, it's at every turn, they manage to do the wrong thing.
No, and first off, they've been to a Super Bowl, I think, 06, 07? And then they were in an NFC Championship game in 10 or 11.
That was 15 years ago.
I don't feel that's the last time we won a championship. Why would I feel bad?
A lot of NFC title games.
Why on earth would I feel bad? The only guys I'd feel bad for would be offensive linemen or guys, and then I don't because I'm competing against them, but guys that put it on the line. And play 10, 11 years and never, like Joe Thomas. In fact, he never made a playoff game, and I love Joe. That I'd feel bad. I don't feel bad for Cap. No. I love Cap's stuff. It's better when they stink for Cap.
I don't know if it's better for him.
Feel bad for Sylvie sitting around that swing of sorrowness, rocking back and forth? It's great entertainment. I love it. Bring me more. No, I don't feel bad for those guys.
Jesse, tell me what a bad idea this is.
Feeling bad for Bears fans? That makes no sense at all.
What are you, Tony Cartagena? You want to see him win a championship so it can be done?
No,
what the hell are you talking about?
So there's a difference between not wanting them to win a Super Bowl or not wanting them to beat your team. I'm not saying that you should feel bad for them and want them to beat the Packers on Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that...
What you're saying, because that's what it sounds like you're saying.
No, I didn't. I never said I want them to beat the Packers.
You want them to be
good? You don't feel any... I feel sorry for them that it sucks to be a fan of a team that's so bad.
So you prefer them to win so that they'd feel better?
I'm not... No, that's...
But well, then what the hell are you saying? Because that's what you said.
Right, I'm not... If...
You did know this wasn't going to go over
well.
I
knew.
I did know.
Okay,
I did.
I'm glad
and I
you
went
knew.
That way anyway.
Okay, good. I like that you're going out there. I respect that.
I'm not.
It's really idiotic.
It's possible.
But I respect it.
Thank you. You're so nice. I'm not. It's not that you want them to beat your team, it's not that you want to lose to them in the playoffs. I'm just saying it must be really miserable to be a fan of a team that loses and is dysfunctional all the time. Like, if you're a Jets fan, they get Aaron Rodgers, and you think, all right, finally, we're going to have our acts together. They have the longest playoff berth drought of any team in sports.
Boo-hoo.
I'm not feeling sorry for the people that make bad decisions in the building. I am saying that I have sympathy for the fans who endure
this
constant inability to get their team to be good, ineptitude.
All right, so here's the deal.
So the Bears and Packers can both be good simultaneously, right? The Packers can win the division. The Bears can make it as a wild card. You don't even face each other in the playoffs because the Bears lose in the first round, and you don't have to worry about them. I think these are two independent things that you don't have to say you're rooting for the Bears over the Packers.
I got a couple of things here.
I'm sure you do.
You're not a fan. No fan would think that way.
First thing I said, right?
I know. No fans would ever think that way. This is a journalist feeling bad for his journalist buddies. That's what this is.
No, I don't feel bad for
the other part of
Brad
this,
Biggs and the guys that covered Dan Wiederer.
The other part of this
guys.
Is
no.
This is the everybody gets a trophy mentality that you have.
No, it's
but that's
not.
What this is.
No, it's
like
not.
You want to bury these cats. They're down. You bury them. I'm not interested in little Susie down there in Chicago. Oh, she's never seen tough luck. Come over to the good side. Join the G&G. It's warm over here. It's beautiful. Like, no, I'm not interested in that at all. No.
I feel bad for Bears fans. I take pity on them. They don't want my pity. They don't need my pity. I feel pity for them.
But why
it
do you
just
feel,
has to
why
be
do you,
miserable.
Because they're so disorganized and they don't have a good structure of how
but
they
it's
do
not,
business?
No. I thought I articulated this reasonably well. I don't feel bad for Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Mark Trestman and all the dunzo clowns that they've run through there that have failed. I don't feel bad for them. They're the ones who have the power to turn it around. I feel bad for the fans that constantly have to endure this clown car of general managers and head coaches and losing. This is why fan bases want to see ownership sell teams, right?
Relegation.
They're doing that
relegation.
With
relegation.
I saw during the Jets game there were fans that were asking Woody Johnson to sell the team. Like, and again, I don't feel bad for the people who control the fate of the organization. I feel bad for the people that buy the jerseys and buy the tickets and get their hopes up every year, and these dysfunctional franchises suck. That has to be brutal as a fan. And I don't think, I'm not here to tell Packers fans or Badgers fans or Bucks fans or Brewers fans how to behave. But we have been there too, and it sucks, so you know how it feels. That's all.
And you think think Bears fans have had any sympathy in the 80s when Ditka was beating the hell out of us?
I don't know.
No, they didn't.
I don't know.
No,
I didn't have a whole wide friendship group back then.
They didn't.
And I may have
you
a smaller think, friendship group after
you
this
think
statement.
Gopher fans ever feel bad for Badger fans? They don't. They just don't. You think Badger fans are ever thinking, boy, I really hope old boy gets to row that boat down to Mississippi?
No.
I can assure you, we don't. So stop feeling bad. Get over it. You don't need to.
Yeah.
It's on them to figure it out. What do you want to like start
but
trading?
But it's not
them?
On the fans to figure it out.
You want to start
out.
Trading them draft picks so
I'm
they get better?
I'm not talking about the organization.
Okay. What are you? You're talking about fans.
Yes. They don't have any control over the hack operation that
sure
their organization
do.
Is.
You go with your pocketbook. Don't go to the games. Force their hand to make some changes.
Give up your season tickets.
If they stink, and they stink over and over, and they don't do anything different, yeah. Sure.
I just can't believe that they finally get the chance to have the franchise quarterback and now they are ruining him before he even starts.
They've had Mitch Trubisky. They have Justin Fields. They draft a quarterback top 10 every 3 years.
Nobody viewed them the same way as
they
Caleb.
They traded
Williams
up and got Trubisky with the second pick. What do you think they were thinking? That he's going to be an average quarterback?
I'm not talking about the general manager who made that selection. What people in that draft thought Mitch Trubisky, a one-year starter at Carolina, was going to be what the expectations were for Caleb Williams, a Heisman Trophy winner,
there were eight or nine other GMs that decided it wasn't Mahomes before that, so let's not give everybody too much credit. There are a lot of people that thought Trubisky was the guy. And by the way, if Trubisky goes to Kansas City, I'm not saying he's Mahomes, but he's not Trubisky.
I would also feel bad if Jordan Love had gone to the Bears because his career would not be where it is currently. I also feel bad for people that have... Well, I don't feel bad for them if they haven't thought about making the important call. But I feel bad for people with bad driveways if they haven't heard of Johnson & Sons Paving.
And you should get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes and cracked curbs, drainage issues. If those things are bad now, they're only going to get worse. Call Johnson & Sons, get it fixed. Schedule a free, no obligation quote. Get a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of that asphalt pavement work that is needed by spotting fatigue cracking. That is the worst kind of cracking. You don't want energetic cracking. You want to make sure there's fatigue. Standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonSonsPaving.com.
You don't want energetic cracking?
Oh, that means it's violent. Like,
well, then why is fatigue cracking the worst kind?
Because you don't see it. You see that energetic, oh, I got to get shots. It's the fatigue cracking. You maybe need specialists to say, oh, there's some fatigue cracking.
By the time you find out, it's too late. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse. Fatigue cracking. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. I'm not afraid.
What a teammate that Gabe Neitzel fellow is.
Did he bring you a little Danish, or what did he do?
No, he fixed my microphone. You know all those times where you have it, like, drop on you?
Yeah.
I had that happen.
He didn't do that.
Gabe happened to come in. He just wanted to talk.
He didn't do that for me when I was down there. Just be a little more.
Yeah, but it happens to you where you're usually sitting in the Everlight Solar.
Okay.
ESPN Madison.
Jesse's got a lot on his plate, so I'm not going to ask him to do that.
So... I'm gonna put this out into the universe. How badly am I going to be crushed?
You're going to get smoked. I just tweeted something of the ilk. You're going to get killed. I think you'll have more fans that maybe will side with you in a certain aspect, but I just don't know how you're going to win. Not that you care, because you're not a fan.
I just want to make sure that you're not misrepresenting me, because that's been known
I'm
to happen.
I'm certain that you will think that I misrepresented you.
I don't feel bad for the people in the organization who are making these bad decisions.
No, I think I qualified.
I feel bad for the fans.
I know. That's what I said.
Okay.
All right.
I haven't seen your tweet yet. Joining us now to tell me I'm an idiot, or perhaps maybe he'll support me in this.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Evco and I, we fight a lot on this. We have a lot of fun. But we were both correct. Can we all agree now that we were correct about our Thanksgiving Day? Don't play a frosh until after Thanksgiving Day. Can we all agree
no,
that?
No. If you could get your tagline right, it would be great. No frosh play until after Thanksgiving Day.
Ooh, that is a better
is
way.
How you,
Thank you,
you,
Jason.
In Piscataway or something. It is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, that's a good line. You should write. You ever think about that?
I'm just going to use Chat GPT or whatever to do my work for me. Help me out with this.
I use Chat Olt is what I use. What would Touch say? Chat Olt
Cholt.
Is my new one.
Cholt.
Cholt?
I don't like that.
Cholt. What do you mean you don't like?
Why are you trying to come up with a better nickname for a nickname?
Exactly. Chat Old T was so good.
No, it was really good. Chult's and you
better.
Ruined it.
You got to make things better. You can't just sit pat. Didn't you hear Coach Alvarez?
You feel like you have to.
Don't you hear Coach Alvarez? You have to get better.
No, I didn't hear Coach Alvarez.
Well, I listened on the Great Dane Huddle. He was fantastic last night.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Evan,
we had a new host though. I was listening for Gravy, and I heard somebody else. I thought there was a volleyball game that he had to do a pregame show.
Gravy had some bad gravy yesterday.
The guy just keeps working. He works and he works.
John Audius?
No, Jelly. Oh, okay. Jesse Nelson hosted last night.
All right, Evan, help me out with this because I'm making a fool of myself, and I need you to either bail me out or at least change the conversation to you arguing with Tausch because. I have made the claim that I feel sad and feel pity
bad.
You feel for bad Bears for. Fans.
Bad for.
Yeah, pity. I used pity for sure. For Bears fans. I don't feel bad for the McCaskey family. I don't feel bad for the people that continue to make bad decisions and continue to make their organization lose. But I feel bad for the fans who care deeply about the Bears, and it's like the Jets and some other teams that just they never seem to get it right. You were obviously a Patriots fan, but growing up, you had some times where you were a fan of teams that things did not go well for. Am I being ridiculous?
Fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the concept of feeling for other fan bases is logical. The concept of expressing your sadness and feelings for that fan base while hosting a sports radio show in the state of Wisconsin mm-hmm. and choosing the Bears fan to feel badly for is an odd choice, I would say.
I would agree.
Fair. Right?
I get what you're saying. And like, if I came on here as a national host that is
a big star, yep. Gated community, big star, right? National radio host, yep.
Can't get it to your house as paid for by others. But anyway, so I don't know the angle on the Packers guy feeling bad for the Bears person, right? Like, let's flip it. I'll give you a weird example. Do you feel sad or nervous for Tua when he plays football right now? Like, are you scared on his behalf?
I am, actually.
Okay. And I would say, why? When he's telling you not to be, why do you care about him when he doesn't care about him? And that's what I was...
Great question.
It's almost as if... Do you think that the Bears fans felt badly for the Packers when Rodgers destroyed the last season in Green Bay?
No.
Yeah, that's not the same, though,
or
right?
Or Ditka and the
like
fridge.
Like, institutional failure
Dent,
is different.
They wanted to smother us and put us in a locker and bury us. That's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, Jason, yeah. Jason, you're not, like, you don't need to celebrate the misery, but I think, like, whether you like it or not, I know you're not a fan, I know you're not actually on the Packers, but you're a Packer, right? So what will be in Tausch fans here right now is a Packer feeling badly for a Bear.
It's like that Georgia dude. It's the Georgia dude celebrating on the field with his buddy from Ole Miss. That's what Wildy's doing right now.
No, that's not what I'm
close.
Doing.
You're a Packer. You have to understand that. Everybody looks at you as much on that team as they do Tausch. I mean, you probably played as much. But, I mean, like, that's the reality of this. No, I'm serious. Jason, like, you're a Packer. Yes, you cover the team and talk about the team, but who's more associated in the media with the Green Bay Packers than Jason Wilde? No one. So as part of that...
Who's got it better than us? Nobody!
Good one, Tausch. Everybody joined you there. That was great leadership.
So the example that I was using are people like... David Kaplan, people like Mark Silverman, who are our teammates.
Nobody cares about them that you're talking about right now.
It's 100%
true. Like you're talking to.
Yeah, it's true.
No, you're telling me that people in you're telling me that people in Wisconsin do not have family members or friends who are Bears fans?
Yeah, they want to beat them. They want to beat them more than other people.
Great. Then they can call and text in to tell me that. I actually thought this was a...
Jason, what those people are doing today is they're texting their family and friends that are Bears fans pictures of Mark Trestman, pictures of John Fox, pictures of Lovie Smith. Oh, I know it was good. But
Lovie actually was good, yeah.
I know. You get the point. What they're doing is they're talking trash because that is what people do. Friends do to one another is we talk trash to each other. So there's no, hey, I'm so sorry Shane Waldron got fired. Are you okay? Like, that's not what's happening.
It's you, man. That is Wildy, though. He'd probably call Sylvie today and be like, hey, man, it's just, I know you were buddies with Waldron. Cauldron. That's Jason.
You didn't even know his name.
I thought
yesterday.
It was Cauldron.
That's crazy to me. What's happening is, like, literally, Tausch is texting Tom Waddle, like, a picture of Favre, Rogers, and Love, like, together. I think that's what's happening.
Mm.
Not the other way. There's no sympathy. It's sports.
Thank you, Evan.
My issue, again, is that it's, you don't have, Tausch claims that you have control over that. You cannot buy tickets anymore. You can control it with your pocketbook. My argument is that if you are dyed-in-the-wool a Bears fan, your dad and mom were Bears fans, your grandparents were Bears fans, you're born into Bears fandom, you have no control over the fact that year after year after year, they managed to screw it up for you. It's uncanny. It is the 70s and 80s of the Packers. It is exactly the same. And
I'm sure all of your friends growing up in the 70s and 80s, when you guys were Packers fans that are Bears fans, felt badly for you and made sure that you guys were okay during that time.
Well, I didn't have friends outside of my little, you know, my little area, right? Because we weren't quite as connected beyond our neighborhood or beyond our town. Right. Whereas now, I like Mark Silverman a lot. I consider him a fantastic friend. I feel bad for him.
God.
It sucks to be him.
Wait a minute. Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're walking down a path. Let's define a fantastic friend. Have you and Sylvie ever been to a meal together, just the two of you?
No, not just the two of us. But I have had a meal
with
him.
Would you deem someone to be a fantastic friend that you've never had a meal with?
Well, I mean, we don't live in the same city.
Neither do Tausch and I. Tausch and I have half the United States that we've had meals in.
Well, not based on the conversations we've heard on the show, generally speaking. You at least made it to the tornado room.
Tausch, how many states have we had meals in?
Four or five?
More than that. Way more
okay.
Than that.
All right. I don't know why you asked me that.
Anyway,
just the two of you?
Clearly good friends.
Why don't you tell me? Yeah, at least four or five. So
why don't you tell me the name of the movie? But Jason, here's the thing. Go search your text messages from the day Rogers left and read me the text from Sylvie. Hey, sorry, he's gone.
I will scroll back through my text chain with him, and
all right,
I will look
so
for what he
Evan,
said.
Evan, let's move the ball forward and not talk all about
Tausch
Jason's
lost
fandom.
Interest.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, at some point, you are who you are, and that's what makes you, the Packer.
Jason, that's too long without the focus on Tausch. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, first off, don't call me Mark. But aren't we
such
right
good
about,
friends?
Aren't we right about the whole Caleb Williams experiment? Like, isn't it just, doesn't
aren't
this
we,
just,
what a great lead question.
Doesn't
like
this just
aren't
show,
right?
And I want you to answer that, but then also, if Patrick Mahomes had actually been drafted by the Bears, is he still Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. So, a couple of things. On the don't play the, what is it, Jason, what did you write? Don't play the frosh until Thanksgiving, whatever that terminology
no
was.
Frosh play so, until after Thanksgiving.
That's really catchy. It's really catchy.
Yeah. So I don't believe that we have been proven wrong because Jaden Daniels is awesome. I believe that we have been proven to be able to say that Jaden Daniels is one of one, right? And you can say, well, what about CJ Stroud last year? Okay, so every draft class has one guy that is one of one, right? And you have to be sure you have that guy. I have a new rule I'd like to add to my QB rules.
I love these. Yes.
Okay.
You should write an article about these QB rules. I know.
Yeah, ESPN.com featured it. No big deal. So tell me what you guys think about this. I'm being serious. If you don't have a head coach that you can promise yourself as an owner of a team will be your head coach in 3 years, you should not be allowed to draft a quarterback. Let me explain.
Ooh.
The Bears went into this season having no idea if Eberflus is going to be the guy moving forward. Thus, you should not draft a quarterback or extend him or fire him.
Yep.
To
yes.
guarantee like upon arrival,
those.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at quarterbacks so far this year around the league that have been successful. All right? Number one, rookie quarterbacks. All right? Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn is going to be there for 3 years in Washington. Mm-hmm. Check. Drake May, New England. Gerard Mayo is going to be there in 3 years for New England. And you know what? I think so at this point.
And by the way, he didn't play until 6 weeks, like what, 5 or 6 weeks.
That's the point.
Yes.
That's the point.
Okay.
Too many times, job security influences when a quarterback is going to play. All right? And I think when you know you have a head coach that's going to be there, that head coach is able to take their time in QB development. Bo Nix won the job with Denver. Sean Payton is going to be there in 3 years. So when you have a quarterback, like, for instance, if Carolina decides, you know what, we are not sold on Bryce Young, we're going to draft the quarterback, no, mm-hmm. you should not be allowed to, because there's no way you can be sold on Dave Canales being there for 3 years. And this is where you should feel badly for the Bears or any other inept organization, which the Green Bay Packers, to their credit, are so the opposite.
Is right.
that if you don't have security at the coaching spot, you should not be allowed to draft the quarterback, because the coach is going to make decisions about the quarterback relative to keeping their job versus developing the quarterback.
I'm on board.
This
I like
is
the
a,
rules.
Who
this
is the coach? Such a... Who is the coach? Who is the coach when Jordan Love was drafted?
Matt LaFleur.
And what year was Matt LaFleur in?
Year two.
And what was his record in year one?
13-3.
They made the NFC Championship 13, game.
13-3.
Is there any reason to think at that moment when they drafted Jordan Love, forget the Rodgers part for a second, when they drafted Jordan Love, was there any reason to believe that Matt LaFleur was not going to be there 3 years from them? Or from that point?
No.
So that's my point. Matt LaFleur felt no pressure to play Jordan Love.
He felt the opposite.
And the Bears have done this twice in a row. Right? Because Matt Nagy comes in after they've drafted Justin Fields, too, right? Or vice versa, whatever it was. Or Mitch Trubisky. Maybe it's three times
uneven.
In a row.
It was uneven. Yeah, it was uneven.
I mean, what?
It's awful. It's awful. I mean, that's why the Green Bay Packers continue to be a model franchise with the development of quarterbacks. And this is, to me, where I would go on this, more than the sympathy for the Bears fans. It would be a reminder to the Packers fans. Complain about the turnovers all you want from Jordan Love. Do you realize what you got and what you've had for 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They never do this. I mean, and by the way, people that go elsewhere when they're done with Green Bay stink. Rodgers stinks. Rodgers' second stop is the worst second stop of any of his peers that you can even imagine. I mean, Russell Wilson with the Broncos is better than Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. Stinks. Hackett stinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getsy, twice over, stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jason, I know you like this guy. Joe Philbin stinks, right? Like, all these guys. Alex Van Pelt stinks. Mike McCarthy does not stink, but is going to not be renewed. Everyone outside of the bubble of Green Bay stinks. And they all walk into all of these issues.
John Schneider didn't stink.
But he's not a coach or a player, so maybe we leave it to that.
Okay, well, he didn't stink.
Well, I mean, okay, John Schneider is the exception to the rule. Elliot Wolf, to be determined, right? To be determined. John Dorsey,
drafted
up and down, right?
Did he draft Mahomes? I think he did.
John Dorsey did not draft Mahomes.
I think he did.
We're giving John Dorsey credit for that?
Well, he drafted him. We'll have to check the tape, Jesse. I know Veach was there, but I thought they fired him mid-season.
I'd probably go Andy Reid on that one, but that's just me. Anyway, the point is, all right, so you found a loophole. Great. The executive can be good elsewhere. The coach or the player, it's been a disaster.
You're 1,000% right. I have no pushback. None. And it's incredible.
So then the reminder for the Packers fans today, Jason, that you guys speak to every day is be careful what you wish for. Because you could have this that the Bears have had over and over again. All right, so with your franchise quarterback who's young, growing, and seemingly a wonderful young man, he's going to have some struggles. Okay, you're not going to bench him. You're not going to fire his coaching staff. That's just not going to happen. You never have to deal with any of the stuff that everybody else has to deal with. I say it about Brady all the time. One of the biggest benefits that Brady had, and he helped create this, is he never played for a coach on the hot seat in New England. Never once.
Yeah.
Great point.
How does Favre, as I'm scrolling through the YouTube comments.
Favre did pretty well.
He did pretty well in Minnesota. I want to make sure I give credit to Tyler.
Until he busted his arm up.
On the Jets.
He was eight and three.
I was with Damian Woody the other day in the green room at ESPN. That's a name drop, Damian Woody.
Damian Woody's a beast. Yes. All right, continue.
He's a great guy.
I was with Russo, Mad Dog. Woof woof.
Right, you said you were
fantastic friends.
That's true. All right, what do we got? Finish your Damian Woody.
Damian Woody said if Favre doesn't get hurt that year, they go to the Super Bowl.
Woo! Like, hey, definitely playoffs. Definitely playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brady with Tampa, Manning with Denver, Russell Wilson, both stops, as much as it probably pains Rodgers, both spots better than Rodgers with the Jets. If you want to go Drew Brees' first stop versus his second stop with the Chargers, better than the Jets. Anyone that you would deem to be a peer of his.
Joe Namath.
In his era.
Joe Namath with the Chargers, not good.
Not really.
Terry Bradshaw, when he left, not good. Did Bradshaw ever leave the Steelers?
Not his era.
I don't know that he did.
I said in his era. What world are you living in?
Well, I don't know if. Okay, fair. All right. I don't know.
Am I wrong?
No.
It's been not good. I think that's a very fair assessment. And you can make an argument. Your argument's got validity to it.
Oh, thanks, Josh. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So sweet. You know what?
Let's go grab a meal. How about you, me, Sylvie, and Jason go down to Cut down in Chicago? A great partner, ESPN Chicago. Let's go down there and get a meal. How do we feel about that?
Jason, you want to do it? You want to do the big four-way dance? We'll do the meal.
This would be
fun. Are you out?
Does that help me? Would you stop?
Stop with what?
It doesn't help me with your requirement for friendship if you and Tausch tag along.
So
Sylvie.
Jason's probably going to Chicago to cover the game this weekend. Why not call up Sylvie and go grab a meal? Take a beat.
Get the meal.
Perfect.
Get the big meal.
You guys could sit at two separate tables right next to each other.
Oh, we could just sit and listen. Hey, can you believe that this is what Wilde? Can you believe Wilde feels bad?
Have a soup. Jason, have a soup. We'll consider it a meal.
Soup is not a meal. Thanks, Evan.
If there's no crackers, there's no soup.
Bye, Evan.
Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process. That's a great way to have a little friendship. Crack open a Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
I will try to recover next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I was left to my own devour.
Thanks as always to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. You can listen to him across ESPN Wisconsin. You can watch him on TV every morning as well, along with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. The YouTube comments. Nicer than Jesse would expect.
Oh.
Certainly a handful of folks that think I'm an idiot, which I'm okay with. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to say that I was wrong. I think it's okay to feel bad for the fan base. I just want to make sure I'm not being misquoted.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows you didn't want me misquoting you back in the day.
Sure, and I didn't misquote you. There's nothing misquoted.
You did not. You definitely didn't.
All right.
I'm not accusing you thereof, right. But I just want people to understand.
You like Barkley? You misquote yourself in your own
autobiography. No, I just... I don't feel bad for the decision makers. They're the ones that keep proliferating this Bears still suck.
Well, the
ethos.
Bears still suck.
They do. And I do want to get into during the 10 o'clock hour, though, is the overconfidence warranted?
Yeah, it's definitely should be a concern. But I just, we'll get into that. That's a good idea.
We will get into that after Tausch tells us. I was just in the restroom here at the Grubel Offices One Call That's All Studios. Very nice. Must have been done by Kohler Services. But also, like, a bottle of Scope with little, like, cups in case you wanted to do a little mouthwash, which I thought was a nice
touch. It's a nice little touch. And if you need a bath or shower remodel, turn to our friends at Kohler Services. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer, providing care for life. And this month only, get zero interest financing for 12 months. And like Gilligan said, a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. Again, you get that free shower door with fast professional installation, always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
So is it true that Jesse hosted the Great Dane Huddle with Barry Alvarez for his debut as an actual teammate yesterday?
I believe it is.
That did happen, yes.
And how did that go? I think we should talk about it. I'm intrigued because I didn't get to listen. We'll do that during the 10 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.